Isaiah chapter 40. I just want to say, firstly, I just want to thank everyone who does the what I call the thankless ministries, the cleaning, creche. I just feel sometimes we don't appreciate people like that enough, but I want to thank you because the church cannot go on without servants. And I felt God just wants you to know the power in serving. A lot of people want a position, but they don't serve. But God's way, he elevates you as always. Joshua serves Moses. Serving Christ Church is such a wonderful thing. Some of us want to hear the voice of God. We actually want to hear the Rhema voice of God, not just that. We want to hear God speak. And God was showing me the other day how before Samuel heard God, he was actually serving a God he'd never actually heard speak. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." But where did he hear God speak? He was simply serving in the house. So it's very, very powerful. If you serve with the right attitude, God will start to speak to you. And may everyone who is doing those thankless, sometimes thankless before men, serving tasks, may God bless you. Also, I want to tell us we have a teaching tonight on intentional evangelism, how to share your faith and get the tape whiffed up your mouth so you can actually speak and evangelize. And I so encourage you to, around your world, you have a lot of people, you have a lot of relationships. I drew a circle the other day around your family, your work people. Start praying for the people in your world this year because Jesus says you have not because you ask not. This year, we're praying for souls, and I'm believing every single person in here is going to lead one person to Christ this year. One person to Christ. And I praise God, it's already happening. I'm telling you, if you just pray, just ask God. You know, he said, if you take God at faith, everything you ask me in my name, I will do it. Now, you think you've got to have a textbook in theology to understand that. The Greek's very simple. And he fills it out in 1 John. If it's in my will, I will do it. But when you come, ask, believing you're receiving, it shall be done. So praise God. We're also going to start a series after our evangelism series. I'm going to start a series which is particularly good for these young ones over here I'm after. It's called Taboo or To Do. And it's like all the things the world says you should be doing. There's a lot of confusion in some of the church. For instance, issues on such as yoga. A lot of churches rent their halls out for yoga. Should you be doing that as a Christian? We're going to go into those issues through the Bible. You know, the whole marriage issue. We've gone through that a lot in why should you keep your gender? All that sort of stuff. What the Word of God says about contemporary issues that you're going to face when you go off to university or the workplace. We're going to have a series for 8 weeks on those issues and what the Word of God says. Amen? Okay, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 40, even though we're running out of time. We're going to get there. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, "Cry out," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up from on the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, do not be afraid, says to the Lord. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord shall come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms, carry them in his bosoms, gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom will you liken God, and what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldman overspreads it with gold, the silversmith casts silver's change. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and his inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall they take root in the earth, when he also will blow on them, and they will wither. The whirlwind will take away them away to stubble. To whom will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God. I feel like I could go home now. It's just so good, that passage. It's just so good all on its own. This passage is written to Israel when they're actually in being chastened by God because of their sin, and they're in a bad place. They've been in exile. And God is saying it's not going to last. Even though Babylon's powerful, all flesh, all men is flesh, everything's grass. God is so great. He's the great creator. And he just blows on nations and then they cease to exist when he says they're going to cease to exist. And God, Isaiah is saying, your God is going to change everything. Your God is going to come for you. He's going to redeem everything. He's going to bring you into that good place, Jerusalem, that he had for you. And he finishes by saying, even while you're not in that place, at the end he says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall not faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall mount up with wings like eagles. What God is saying here is that while Israel is waiting, they're going through a difficult time. God promises them that their life and their weight and their ways would not be like normal men. He promises a power to the weak. And he says, I give you a power to your life, even though situations are not resolved, that daily you'll increase your strength. So even when the young men, the natural man, shall, they're normally strong, but sooner or later they faint and be weary. But he says, I'm promising you that you will not be weary, that you can have a strength from on high that increases daily, and you will run and not grow weary. Your strength shall be renewed every day to get through all your issues. And of course, what he's speaking of, it's the same strength and power God promised the church at Pentecost, because here it says those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem and you'll receive something that is not of this world. You'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And he says, when you have that power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and Ephesians speaks about this, a power, according to the riches of his glory, God will strengthen you, your inner man, with might by his Spirit. And God wants people who are able to receive his strength and his power, that we are able to endure trials, endure tests, and walk not as everybody else walks, but walks as his people, not denying the test, but actually receiving a strength from God, a power of the Holy Spirit that actually enables us to live at a different level. And he says that when you receive that, it'll be like you're an eagle. And eagles, because they don't walk on the ground like natural men. Chickens walk on the ground. A lot of people, Christians even, can still be like chickens. They peck at each other. They talk about doctrines. But he says an eagle soars above that. He gets into the Spirit. When you're into the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit gets hold of your life and you walk in the Spirit, as Paul says, he says, when you're in the Spirit, do you know what an eagle does when he's in the Spirit? An eagle's pleasure, his great pleasure is being near the sun. They fly near the sun because that's their great pleasure. When you're in the Spirit, your real pleasure is nothing of this world. Nothing can satisfy you. But when you're in the Spirit, the only thing that will satisfy you, give you pleasure, is the sun. When you're in the Spirit, you actually have storms. But you know, the eagle, he actually soars above the storm. The wind, the Spirit takes him above the storm. And he actually is not like a natural man who's trying to see what's going on. He actually has perspective. He has the eagle's eye. He can see through what is happening in the storm. He can see the purpose of the storm when we walk in the Spirit. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but when we walk in the Spirit, we can see God's perspective. The Holy Spirit shows us the things to come. And as you know, the eagle, when he is soaring, when he's in the Spirit, you know, he can lock his wings and stay there. Church, hear this. There's only one way to walk in the Spirit and stay there. You know what the wings are? One wing is praise and the other wing is intercession. There is no other way. You want to be a Christian who says, I just want to live in my mind. I don't want to think things through all the time. You will just be what Paul calls a carnal Christian, walking in the dead letter, walking in the flesh. But it is through praise and it is through intercessing and crying out to God. When God sees a church at the altar like that, the Holy Spirit comes and starts to lift the church, starts to lift you out of the realm of the natural, starts to give you perspective in your problems, starts to give you vision. The eagle's eye can see where he's going, and it's all, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And that Spirit, when you're in the Spirit, it gives you a strength to start every day. Your problems may be there. The situation may not be changing. Whatever else is falling down, but you're saying, I see things differently. I see things differently. I see victory coming. I see this is temporary. I see God has a purpose in it. I see God has a plan in it. When everyone else is saying, this is terrible, I'm going broke. He's saying, I can see it. It's only temporary. God has a plan. He has a purpose because I've got, like the eagle, I can see God's perspective in my problem because I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. I'm soaring with my God. What is the condition to have that power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, I want to tell you, I read a book once. It was in the book a little while ago. There was a phrase that's sort of what triggered this sermon. It was, birds of the feather flock together. You become like what you run with. You get with people who got Holy Spirit, God's vision for their life, and you stay with them. You walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, and you'll stay in the Spirit. There's a difference between a spirit and a crow and a chicken. But you've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to stay in the Spirit with people who are of the Spirit. It's so important. You know, if you don't walk with people in the Spirit, I find they after a while they drag you down because they keep wanting to look at things from earth's perspective, man's perspective. They say, well, justification. And they can't hear the talk of faith. They want an explanation and reason for everything. But you know, I tell you what, God is not, when I speak like this, some people say, well, you're asking us to be irrational. God is not, when you get in the Spirit, it's not irrational. And the Word of God is not irrational. There is irrational, there is rational where the natural man lives, and there is supra-rational. It's a realm we live in that's above the rational. It's where God is and His Word and His promises is where faith lives. And it's where we know by faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. When you're in the rational, you say it must be evolution. It must be evolution because it's reasonable, it's rational. But when we're in faith and in the spirit, we know the word of God is beyond anything of man. And God spoke and it was because we don't know, we don't understand it with my mind, but I have the understanding of Christ, which is above the human mind. I don't know what my sermon was about, but that was fun. That was true. How do you receive the Holy Spirit power for your life to get through and get strength every day from God? Like there is a strength. There is a strength that God wants to give you today in your prayer closet. It doesn't matter what your issues are, your challenges are. He wants to put Holy Ghost power in your life that your circumstances may not change. Your storm may still be there, but you're different. You're different. Your body has been strengthened in your inner man with the might of his spirit. How do you get that? There's a condition to this promise. Like every promise of God, there is a condition. Like Jesus said to the disciples, wait and you'll receive power. It's so important. The condition is, we see what the condition is. First of all, if you go back to verse 25, Isaiah says, to whom will you liken me? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all things. When you got a problem, when you got an issue, it's like the giants, the spies before they went into the promised land. Some saw the giants. There was two different spirit, Caleb and Jacob. They saw the power of God. They saw the one who created all things. You've got to see the power of God in your life. You've actually got to understand and look to the power of God. And he says, why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord? To receive the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, the first thing you must do, why do you say of Jacob and speak, my way is hidden from, my just claim is passed over by God? Listen, when things are hard, the first thing you must not do is accuse God. You must not accuse God. You must not accuse him of not caring. You must not accuse him of forgetting you. You must not accuse him. You must not complain and grumble against him, because really, if you read 1 Corinthians 10:10, it speaks about many of God's people, they fell in the wilderness because they complained and grumbled against God. And some people in their flesh, they say, oh, God understands this. But it's all right to say to God, I don't know what's going on. God, show me what you're doing. But that's a whole different issue to accusing God. Like Job's wife said, curse God and die. She knew when you get into the accusing game, God doesn't like it. So when we got an issue, when it's hard, we can cry to God, but we do not complain that our way is hidden from God. Secondly, he says, he gives his might to those and increases strengths. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. You got to be humble and say, this Holy Ghost power, this soaring in the realm of the eagle, this living above my circumstances, if I don't have it, I don't have it. There's no use pretending or arguing with God you got it. If you've got no victory over sin, you haven't got it. If you haven't got the fruit of the Spirit, you haven't got it. But God loves us to be able to just say, if I've got no strength, if I'm weak, there's nothing wrong with coming to God and saying, I'm weak. God said, you know what? God keeps you weak. God's chosen the weak and foolish things of the world to give them the power. Those who think they got it all together and they don't need it, they never get it. But when you actually say, there's something of God I need, this power of God upon my life. Paul said he chose the weak and the foolish things. And Paul says that God's power is made perfect in his weakness. God will bring you to a place of weakness. And it's all right to be in a place of weakness. But you say, God, I know you've got something more for me. You don't want me to live here as your child. You want to give me your promise. You want to give me that promise of power that as I wait on you, I will receive it. So when you're weak, you've actually, there's nothing wrong with it, but you've got to confess it to God. Admit it. And then he says, the third condition is you wait on him. You wait on God. When you wait on God, the word is koresh, and the word wait means entwine, like rope, two pieces were twisted together. You entwine yourself with God, and to the point where Christ is is your life. There's an illustration I've used many times. There's a famous fig tree in Australia. People didn't think this could happen. But a vine, it's called the Middlebury fig. I suppose it's at Middlebury, wherever that is. But it's a fig tree, and it's a vine that wrapped itself around this fig tree, and it grew parallel to it, but it so got entwined in it, in the end they both had the same life source, became the same organism. I thought, that is such a great way of speaking how to wait on God, that we just wrap our lives around him and that his will is our will, that Paul speaks about saying, Christ is my life. That when Christ becomes your life, to do his will is your desire and your plan, not your own. It's like it's all about him. My life is all tied up in him, his vision for my life. My will is to do his will. That's what it is to wait, to entwine myself with him. If you go to Psalm 130, verse 5, David said, I wait for the Lord, and my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Hope in the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits. I wait for the Lord, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. What does that mean? It means when you have an issue, when you have a challenge, when you have a problem, you don't wait for your circumstances. You don't wait for a person to receive the power of God. You don't wait for a phone call. You don't wait for money. But David says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. What it is to wait on God. If you're broke, you get your Bible out, and the Holy Spirit will quicken a word of God to you. Like 2 Corinthians 9:8, that I have all, my grace is sufficient. That you will have all sufficiency in all things for every good work. There's the word of God. If you go to God, he'll quicken his word to you. If you're sick, he might quicken the word, by his wounds I'm healed. He will speak to you in the spirit from his word. He will give you rhema word from the word of God. You may be afflicted, and God will say, this is a promise of God to you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all God delivers you. Every affliction is temporary. And when you hope in God, if you're afflicted, you go to the word of God. The Holy Spirit quickens that promise to you. And you get that word. And you wait on that word. He says, like the sun. Like men who watch for the morning, who watch for the... That's like in Israel, there were watchmen who were on picket duty and watched the fort all night. And they watched and they looked for the sun in the morning, because it was hard work and it was tiring just looking out for the enemy. But when the morning came, they got rest and everything changed. The whole circumstances changed. And the sun, the morning was certain to come. So God says, when you're waiting on God, you get his promise in your circumstances and you wait on it. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, you may be afflicted, but out of them all God delivers them. You take that word. You take that word. And actually hope means that you expect God to perform it. And you know it's a certainty, just like the morning is coming, because God is faithful, and that it is to walk by faith. That sooner or later, my God is going to come and he's going to deliver me from my afflictions, because it's temporary. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers me from everyone. And it's coming as certainly as the morning is coming. As certain as night turns to day, God is going to come and perform and perfect his word. And you know what? You know what he'll perfect it? How will he do it? By his power. And his power is always released where there is faith. So to hope in God is to entwine your life with him. It is to, when you've got a problem, it's to get into his word. And it is to get that promise, and it is to rest in that promise, to joyfully know that the circumstance is not going to stay the same, but God is going to change it. How? By his power. by his, the one who created everything is going to destroy that affliction. The one who destroyed, who created all work, his power is going to destroy your poverty. The one who created all the heavens and the earth, he's going to deal with that sickness. It's just going to come and it's just going to happen. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I have an almighty God and my hope and my heart rests in him. And finally, he says, David says, because hope in Israel in the Lord, for with God there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption. You know what God's looking for in his people and where the power of God is at work, there is always faith. And hope is simply the soil which faith springs from. Waiting on God is the soil where hope, where faith springs from. I've said this many times, but there is the power of God. It's like in the storm here. And this, for the storm's power to affect the earth, there's got to be a conductor. And the conductor is faith and hope. When God's people are hoping and trusting and believing in his promise, his power will be released and never before. When God's people are walking in the flesh, just the power of God's not on your life. It never will be on your life. But when there's faith, God, he says, speaks in there, and he says, wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. God will perform and perfect his word to you because you believe him, not because you're worthy. Not because you're worthy. Not because you're particularly righteous. Not because you're particularly good. But because you believe him. Because you wait on him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Wait on him and you'll receive power. You know, there's another dimension to this word, waiting on the Lord. It's actually entwining your life with him. When you're entwining your life with God, you love him. You believe in his word. You trust in his promises. You go to the Bible when you've got an issue. You see what God says about it. And you say, this is what you say, God. I may be going through this, but your word says it's temporary. Your word says you're a deliverer. Your word says you're a healer. As we do that, you know what we're doing? We're trusting him. We're actually serving him. You know, the word waiter in a restaurant, it comes from this word, Hebrew word, koresh. Same origin. We get the word waiter, and we speak about a waiter in a restaurant. The origin is this. And you wait. When a waiter waits on somebody, he doesn't do his own bidding. He doesn't do his own will. He seeks to do the one he serves, his will. And he seeks to please the one he is serving. And he seeks to do what the one he's serving wants done. That's part of waiting. That's part of waiting. That's part of waiting on God. But God gave me this Holy Spirit revelation. You know, when in the natural, when you wait well on somebody, you know what they give you? They give you a tip. You know what God's tip is? It's his power. It's his power and it's his promise perfected. It's his power that takes you above the natural. When you wait on him, when you wait on him and you believe in him and you're hoping in that promise, not only will he perform and perfect that promise, but even when it's not performed and perfected, even when the promise has not been fulfilled yet, like it was for Israel, as you're waiting in God, as you're putting your trust in God every day and say, God, you're coming for me. This is temporary. Your word says you're going to deliver me. God, you've promised this. What happens every day? Every day you put your hope. That's how you start your day. You get into the natural and you get into the spirit. and you get out of the realm of the natural man, you get into the realm of the spirit. By waiting on God, you wait. You say, God, I'm praising you. I'm praising you because you're not going to leave me the same. And suddenly the Holy Spirit will come and he'll start to lift your life. The Holy Spirit will start to come and give you perspective. The Holy Spirit will come and start to give you vision for your problems. Every day the Holy Spirit will start to show you what God is doing in your life. Every day he'll lift you out of the realm of the flesh and the natural man, and he'll bring you into the realm of the Spirit where you can soar above your issues. He'll bring you in a realm of the Spirit where all you want is Jesus. He'll bring you into the realm of the Spirit where you receive power. He'll take you out of the natural realm and he'll lift you above. The wind is the Spirit, and he'll lift you above the natural level and bring you into life of walking in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Because that's what the eagle does. The eagle wakes. And the eagle even runs into the storm. He can even run into the storm because he doesn't fear the storm. But he knows he's going to be taken up by the wind. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. The wind is coming. And he's waiting. The Spirit of God is going to change everything. And he's waiting. He knows God's going to change. He's giving him a new perspective. And he's waiting. The eagle has a sharp eye. He can see where he's going. He has vision for his life. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. An eagle soars in the Spirit. He soars in the Spirit because he knows how to wait. And he also knows how to stay there. It's through praise and it's through intercession that we stay in the realm of the Spirit, that we stay in that realm of being able to see from God's perspective. Have you ever come into if you were here on Friday night, the most powerful use of your time was those 5 hours, 6 hours. We prayed from 9 till 3. If you got an issue, if you come in with a problem, I want to tell you, there was a time in that prayer meeting about 1 a.m. My grace spoke about, the Spirit of God just came in here and started to speak to people, started to give people his perspective, started to show people his faithfulness. You know, my daughter just said she felt God tap her on the back. That's all in the Bible. You'll see experiences in the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God really comes into a place, his effect is he starts to lift. That's why he's called the glory and the lifter of our heads. And all we were doing, there was a time where the whole place, I'll say on Friday night, there was a time at 1 a.m., this place became a supernatural place. This natural place became a supernatural place. God was here. That's all you can say. God was here. Everything changed. Everything about me changed. Problems I had in my heart were resolved. Issues, strongholds of the mind destroyed. And what we were doing, how do we get in that realm? We're simply waiting on God. We were here waiting for God to come, praising him, entwining our life with his, reading his word, and then his power and his presence was released in this place. So God, you know, it's repeated so many times in the Scripture. So many times in the Scripture. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. David in his Psalms writes it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And Jesus said in the end, the importance of it, wait till you receive power. There's a scripture I love at the start. I preach on it often at Christmas about a person called Simeon. And he tells us what waiting is. As he was waiting, the Holy Spirit revealed to him, that Messiah was coming. And he was coming into the temple every day. It says, waiting on the consolation of the Lord. waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise, waiting for his word to be manifested, waiting for his word to be fulfilled. And it says the Holy Spirit was dwelling and moving. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he climbed to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon my rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and he will trust in the Lord. David wrote that, you know, and he said, he wrote that referring to how he was pursued by Saul and he had no natural hope of escaping, no worldly hope in escaping. And it's like his life got in a pit, horrible pit. He was living in a cave. And he said, simply because I waited for the Lord. What happened? He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. How did he do it? Just by the power of God. Just through his power. You don't even have to describe how he does it. God just can reach into your pit, wherever you are, because your hope is in his word that says he redeems me and pulls me out of every pit in Psalm 103. I want to tell you, God doesn't want you to be like a natural man. He doesn't want you to be like everybody else. He doesn't promise you a trouble-free life. But what he does promise you is that you will not be worn out. If the enemy can't take you out, he'll try to wear you out. But he says you will not be worn out like everybody else. I promise for your life a Holy Ghost power and a Holy Ghost strength that renews you every day, that comes into your body and strengthens you with might in the inner man, which gives you fresh hope, which makes you different to other people who wear out. The Spirit of God, the very same Spirit of God that raised you from the dead, that power working in you to give you victory over sin, to make you uncommon. He says, I promise that to you. I promise this power, even to the weak, and you get it daily. Daily you get it by waiting. Not complaining, but actually getting out this book and saying, God, my problem is this, but you say this. And I know, as sure as night turnings, that you're going to perform that word. And every time you do it, his power will come into your life. His power will come and rest upon you and make you strong to endure every challenge. I feel God, as some people here today, the word says that you're weary from well-doing. The solution is not by might, not by strength, but by my power, says the Lord. And the power is in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life without the Holy Spirit is absolutely hopeless. But the Holy Spirit wants to lift your life. He wants to come. He wants to take you like the eagle. Walk in the Spirit where you have a perspective on your problems, a view of what God's doing, a whole different way of looking things from every other person, that you have God's perspective because you're in the heavens looking down on it. You're in Christ. You're in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. Everybody who's weary, I just want us to bow our head. Everyone who's weary now, everybody who's feeling maybe worn out or tired, I feel God wants to deal with this issue today. His word says that you're not going to stay there. You will not remain there. His plan and his promise for you is he will give power to the weak. Father God, I lift every person here who may be weary. And Father, we know it's not your fault. Father, we know you are a good God. You're a redeemer. You're a lover of our soul. You're a healer. You're a deliverer. And Lord, we often have not rested and put our hope in your word. But I thank you that you've given us your word. I thank you that you still speak to us through your word. I thank you there is a rhema for everybody that changes everything. I thank you when we get that rhema, there is life in it, Lord. And Lord, there is a certainty when you speak to us through your word. It is yes and amen. You are the author and the finisher. That Lord, that as soon as night comes today, that deliverance is coming. And Lord, we look to you, we praise you. It's not because we are worthy. It's not because anything we are doing, it's because you love us. You love us just like you came for Israel. At the right time, you love them. They're your people. You never forget them. Father, I break the power of all condemnation and shame in this house. And I declare that you're a merciful God. Merciful God. An almighty God. And we look to you again today, Lord. We look to you again today. We look to your promise today, Lord. We look to your unfailing word today, Lord. And we give you praise that you will perform and you will perfect at the perfect time everything you say to us. Father, I thank you for the strength that's even coming upon my life right now. I thank you that there is an uplift in your spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do take us into a different realm, a different dimension. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you give us eyes to see the future. You give us eyes to see what God is doing in the midst of the storm. And I thank you there is a strength, even now that is coming into my inner man, that is available every day. Lord, let every weak person be strengthened with might in their inner man today. Let that strength come into their life and their prayer meeting tomorrow morning. Let that strength be released as they hope in you in their prayer closet on Tuesday. Lord, on Wednesday, let that same strength that makes us run and not grow weary. Father, we receive it today. We receive it and declare that your people will run and not grow weary. That we will run the race. Father, where we haven't come into the realm of the knowledge of the importance of praise and intercession, Lord, would you release it over our life that we not only can be lifted every day, but Lord, we can stay in that realm. We can stay in the spirit like the eagle through the twin wings of praise and intercession. Father, thank you that we are not common. We are more than conquerors through the power of your Holy Spirit. I will give you praise for everything you're doing. Everything you're doing in this world, in our lives, Lord. Everything that is coming. We give you praise. You're a wonderful Jesus. And all the people said, amen and amen and amen. You know, I just got this revelation as I finished. I know I've been going a long time, but it's just so important that you understand praise and intercession as well. God was just revealing to me. I don't know why, but I was preaching. I was getting this other message. David assaulted he just knew in the spirit there was something about Jerusalem. His headquarters was in Hebron, but he just knew in the Holy Spirit revealed to him the presence of God was in Jerusalem, and his headquarters had to be in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was so fortified, the people looked out and said, even the lame and crippled can defend Jerusalem. You know how David got up there? He was down there, they're up there. You know how he took Jerusalem? Through praise and intercession. Through praise and intercession takes you up on the wings of eagles. That's how God defeats every battle. He fights your battle when there's praise and intercession in your life. It brings you to the realm of the Spirit. Let's praise him, church. He's doing something wonderful.